Well, it better be that it's First Friday. That's right. A very important day. And today we are discussing the real presence of Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. And we expect your calls. And hello, Jerry.
Hey, yeah, take it away, Take Two family, once a month on the first Friday of the month when the church honors Jesus in a very special way. Every Friday, well, every day, every moment of every day, yes, we honor Jesus, but on Fridays in particular because he was crucified on a Friday, and on the first Friday, it's especially important to honor Jesus. So if your parish has a mass or adoration or devotion or something, please try and get there. But Take Two family, we want to hear your love for the real presence today, your devotion to the Eucharist, how you prepare for communion, Thanksgiving after communion, if you do adoration, how just getting to know Jesus better in the Most Blessed Sacrament has changed your life, hopefully for the better. Couldn't be any other way. 833-288-3986.
I can't wait to go to First Friday Mass. It's about an hour after the show ends, and I love it. And to see the church packed. I go to what they would call a mega church. It can seat over 1,500 folks. And
wow.
It is, yeah. And for First Friday Mass, there's probably, I'd say, a good 400. I mean, it's packed. I mean, everybody takes on the First Friday devotion, First Saturday devotion. So I love that. I would do the First Saturday devotion, but I have the show The Spirit World on Saturdays during that time. So, but I do the First Friday, and I absolutely love it. And we'd like to hear if you have adopted that devotion. Could you call in 833-288-3986? You'll be speaking to Matt Gabinski. Charles Beery's at the controls. Michael McCall is at social media. And Jerry, I just wanted to encourage our listeners to go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You don't have to have an actual catechism to do this. You just go online and type in CCC on the Eucharist. And up pops the paragraphs on the Eucharist. And start at paragraph 1322. And please read about the Most Holy Eucharist. If you're not Catholic, please definitely read about the Holy Eucharist. But Jerry, I just wanted to highlight real quickly for our listeners, just to kind of get us excited about going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist. Paragraph 1326, what I love about the Catechism, Jerry, sometimes paragraphs are only one sentence long. I think that's just so hilarious. But anyway, entry 1326, paragraph 1326 says, "Finally, by the Eucharistic celebration, we already unite ourselves with the heavenly liturgy and anticipate eternal life when God will be all in all." Heaven and earth meet, just like Dr. Scott Hahn said during Mass, and all the angels are there as well, and the saints, and it is such a glorious time to be able to have the privilege of going to Mass.
833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Surely you have something on your heart that you would love to share with the world about the real presence of Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament. That is your number to call, 833-288-3986. Post on the video streams on YouTube and Facebook. We're waving at you great folks there. You can email us, take2@ewtn.com, and post on the show website, take2show.com. But we have a couple of open phone lines still. They tend to fill up quickly here, especially on a show like this. So we definitely encourage you to get on the line if you want to get on the air and share with us your love, your respect, your devotion, your appreciation. Maybe you've helped to lead some people to a belief in the real presence of Jesus who didn't otherwise understand it or believe it. Or you've had opportunities to defend the church's teachings, which of course is very scriptural and historical. 833-288-3986.
Okay, so we do need to hear from you. I totally agree with Jerry. This is definitely your show, your opportunity to come together and share your experience of the Eucharist. And definitely what you have to say can change a soul today, not just a life, a soul today. Why? Because there are a lot of souls walking around that doubt the Most Holy Eucharist in the Catholic Church, and that's very unfortunate. And we have Eucharistic Miracles, the wonderful exhibit that was put together by Blessed Carlo Acutis, traveling all around the world to prove that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. We shouldn't have to have those miracles, but God is so gracious. He gives us those miracles so that it can help us build that trust and confidence. But I wanted to share something real quickly, Jerry. Church Pop just came out with an article today. I think it's precious, and I just love it. And I keep telling everybody that Carlo Acutis is very powerful, especially getting the word out there to all of us adults, not just the millennials, that the Eucharist is real and Jesus is not just present. He's truly present. Okay, and so it says Mother Angelica's 1993 video goes viral after X user calls on Blessed Carlo Acutis' intercession. So this formerly known as Twitter X user asked Carlo in the middle of the night to help him put some classic videos of Mother Angelica out there. And when he woke up a couple hours later, they were just going viral. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. So Carlo was definitely helping this social media influencer, and I thought it was really cool. So it's on Church Pop, folks, and you can check it out. It's a very cool article, and they actually show the clips that are going viral from Mother Angelica. Very powerful. Awesome. She's really kind of telling all of us in the world we better get our act together.
Yeah, amen to that. Mm-hmm. All right, join those who are on the line right now. It is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you, just getting underway on this first Friday of the month, Friday, May 3rd. We are live today, and we certainly look forward to having you join us. Just thinking, you know, you have this opportunity once a month to share, really, like I said before, a shout out to the world about how you feel about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And think about it this way. There are so many people and groups and organizations that they oppose Jesus in the Eucharist. You have those who are the Satanists, you know, they want to get a hold of a consecrated host to do a black mass. And you have many other people challenging our beliefs, you know, really criticizing our beliefs as Catholics. This is our chance to rise up and in a very charitable and peaceful way, you know, just explain to the world, no, this is what we believe. We've come to believe this. We have the gift of our eyes open to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and this is how I feel about that. So please take this opportunity and call 833-288-3986.
Please, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, we believe it's the Holy Spirit, and so you have something to say on this topic. Maybe you are one of those doubters that really just you're struggling with the Eucharist. Please call in. Let us help today. Let this be the day that you change your outlook, your attitude, your thought process, your heart on the Eucharist, because Jesus is truly present, guys. So come on, fill those phone lines. Let's go. 833-288-3986. We always say it on a Friday. Don't get started with your weekend yet. You got to join us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We'll be right back.
Well, a lot of you have something to say, and understandably so, about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. It is certainly the core of our faith. The church calls it the source and the summit. And we hope and pray it is the absolute center of your life, receiving Jesus at least weekly, of course, Sunday Mass, maybe daily Mass, doing time in adoration. So do join us with your love of the real presence, 833-288-3986. We'll get to the call starting with Marilee in Portland, Oregon in just a moment. I want to mention that there is a new book, actually, that you really should pay attention to and get a copy of. It's from EWTN Publishing. It's called A Light to All Nations on the Nature and Mission of the Church, and it's by Father Brian Milady. It'll help you elevate your understanding of the Church by helping you to unpack what one of the central documents of the Second Vatican Council, Lumen Gentium, really taught, and help you understand it through the lens of traditional Catholic teachings, history, and philosophy. Father Milady explains the supernatural character of the Church and our universal call to holiness. You will discover the authentic character and purpose of the people of God and the unique vocations to which we are called. It's A Light to All Nations on the Nature and Mission of the Church by Father Brian Milady, available now by Catholic. Okay, shop EWTNRC.com.
Okay, we do have a couple open phone lines. We'd like you to weigh in on this topic about the real presence, the Most Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Very important. It's the source and summit of our Christian life. You can read all about it in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and I would highly suggest that this weekend, if you could definitely do that and learn more and go deeper with the Eucharist. But for now, we'd love to hear your experience, your comments, your concerns, your questions, your doubts, whatever you've got going on in your head. We're a family, so let's talk about it. 833-288-3986. And Jerry Matt Kabinski's typed this over. I wanted to share this. He said when he was 20, he went to Sacred Heart Cathedral in Newark, and it was the first time he ever saw armed guards next to the priest and the deacon during communion, and it was very impactful to see. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about bringing back the Knights of Columbus or some guards or off-duty police, because you're spot on. You know, you made the comment at the beginning of this show about the Satanists wanting to steal the host to use, to desecrate, to use for their purposes. And that happens actually quite frequently, believe it or not. They will go into churches and they will cup the Eucharist and put it in their pocket and then walk out after Mass. I agree. I think we need to bring back attention to what is happening with the distribution of Jesus in the Eucharist. And I think we need to alert everyone, and we need to get everyone serious and very reverent about it. I couldn't agree more, Matt. I say bring back any type of guard situation.
Safeguard protection.
Yeah. Right. I agree. Well, do you have any of that at your basilica?
We have ushers, and they're stationed throughout the basilica, and they definitely keep an eye on people receiving communion. We need catechesis on this very badly, because I think a lot of, you know, otherwise well-intentioned people receiving communion. I saw a lady just, it was 2 days ago on Wednesday at Mass. She went up to get the host. She was wearing a mask, so she wanted to wait. She received the host in her hand, walked all the way back to her pew with the host in her hand there, mm-hmm. and then waited and then lowered, you know, her mask and, you know, received it in her pew. And, mm-hmm. You know, I fully respect, you know, whatever, wearing the mask isn't the problem. It's just, you know, carrying the Eucharist through the church. Too many things can happen. And in fact, that same day, no, it was yesterday, someone came into the sacristy and said, "I found this host on the floor."
I was just going to say that. Yeah, that happens a lot when they clean up after church. They'll find the host in the pews, and that's not appropriate at all. So that's why you should receive the Eucharist right there as after the priest or deacon or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion distributes it, and then you receive, and then you go back to your pew. Don't walk back with Jesus in your hand. I know that a lot of people do say, though, that they love to just keep Jesus with them a little longer before they take him inside of themselves. I understand that, but that's really not the proper way to receive the Eucharist.
All right, let's hear what Marilee has to say. A first-time caller in the Rose City, they call the Rose City, Portland, Oregon, listening on the EWTN app. Let's go to Marilee. Hi, Marilee, welcome.
Oh, hi, am I on now?
You're on first, yeah, thanks for calling.
Oh, okay, I was calling about the Holy Eucharist.
Sure.
That I wanted to share with you. I didn't grow up Catholic, but my mom was, and we had a neighbor who would take us occasionally to her church to light candles. I just remember that briefly as a child of five, and I had a fascination with the church ever since. But during my Protestant years, we would have communion, which I hate to say this, I dreaded it because it was meaningless to me. It didn't mean anything. And I thought, why are we doing this? I mean, it's just, you know, a cracker and grape juice. So then when I came into the church, it was a whole different story. And I truly believe he is present, because if he wasn't, he would have said, this is a symbol of my blood, my body. But I don't understand. I think he meant it literally. And I came across a Protestant preacher the other day who said Catholics take the body and blood too literally. And that kind of threw me back, you know. So I just truly believe he's present.
Well, if we take you know, Jesus' words, you know, the body and blood of Jesus too literally, so did many of his disciples. We read about, of course, Marilee, you know this, and Debbie, in John chapter 6, when many of them failed, discontinued their following of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go running after them saying, wait, I was speaking symbolically. And I want to recommend to everyone's, viewing edification. I lead an adult faith formation class here at the Basilica of St. Paul in Daytona Beach, and we're currently watching Formed. It's the Formed platform, and it's Lexio Eucharist. It's about a 10-part series. Dr. Brant Petrie is the presenter, and it leaves absolutely no doubt. And he digs deep into the mm-hmm. the Old Testament.
He did a great job.
It's absolutely mm-hmm. amazing. If you don't have a subscription to Formed, check with your parish, see if they do, because it'll be free for you if your parish is paying for it. But anyway, yeah. Marilee, God, you know, that's a beautiful testimony. Go ahead, Deb.
Yeah. No, and I was just going to say, Marilee, I love, actually, how you picked up and said that he's truly present. We need to start using that language. He is truly present. And, you know, to me, Marilee, it makes sense. Why would our God, we have symbols of God all around, everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. He truly wanted and knew that we needed fuel for the journey to come into us. And how do we do that? Well, we have to use our best senses, right? And so it makes complete sense to me in that way that he would want us to take him inside of us. And how do we most often do that? By eating and drinking. It is so, to me, it's so natural of our God to say that's how intimate and close he wants to be with us. What do you say to that, Marilee?
I agree completely. I'm 73 now, and I've been a Catholic for over 40 years. But now that I receive Holy Communion, it's so meaningful to me, and I don't dread it. mm-hmm. I welcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's so wonderful. You know, when you receive the Eucharist on a daily basis, if those that are able to do it, you know, thank goodness we have EWTN television to have the Mass every day for us and on radio every day, which is a wonderful way to listen and to view. But to actually go to Mass, those daily Mass goers, you know, they are everyone's receiving on a regular basis the absolute God strength for this journey. And that's how Blessed Carlo Acutis, that's how he did it. That's why he never missed Mass, because it was so incredible for him to have Jesus so intimately connected, and he always connect. That's why the vine and the branches, that's why at his beatification Mass, they read the vine and the branches, which we just heard last weekend, because it was all about connection and that intimate connection. Marilee, I think you hit it out of the ballpark. Way to go. Thanks for being a first-time caller. Call us again, okay?
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Marilee. 833-288-3986. We're having our monthly, beautiful, blessed, glorious conversation about Jesus' real presence in the Eucharist. What does it mean to you? Please share that with us. And I'm going to share with you at the end of the show, before we close the show today, I have been looking for this. It's a poem that a listener by the name of Edward sent in. It's mm-hmm. The Holy Eucharist, The Bread of Life. Edward, I hope you're listening today. It's a beautiful poem on the Holy Eucharist, and I've been meaning to read it on the First Friday broadcast the last couple months, and I've been forgetting, but I'm going to go ahead and I found that email, so I'll go ahead and close the show with that a little bit later on. It's absolutely beautiful. So
good. Well, that'll give time for Edward to tune in, or somebody will tell Edward to
hopefully,
tune in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Mary in Owensboro, Kentucky on Savior Radio. Hi, Mary. Welcome.
The door to the back of it for me? Okay, thank you.
Hello, Mary. You're on the air.
Mary, are you with us? We can hear you.
Okay, maybe Mary will call back from Kentucky. It sounds like she might be calling back right now. Let's go to Texas. Karen in San Antonio, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I just wanted to speak to the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
Sure.
And I read this article, and Matt, your spinner reminded me of where I got this article from. It's about St. John Paul II, who was visiting a seminary, St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And the story goes that he was just going to drive up and, you know, wave to the seminarians and move on, but he decided he wanted to go and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Accompanying him are police dogs, so they're sweeping the building to make sure it's safe for him. And they also sweep the chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is. And they're trained that when there is somebody there, they're trained to sit. And so it alerts the police to then, you know, look into that. Well, they went into the chapel, and the only place they sat was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. And they were acknowledging the presence of somebody in the tabernacle, which, of course, we know is Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that story. I just thought it was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is incredible. And you know, when if you Karen, real quickly, did you ever see any of the Eucharistic miracles that Carlo Acutis did on the electronic version with all the posters? The one about the fish that responded when the fish when the priest dropped some of the consecrated hosts into the river and the fish picked them up and brought them back. Did you ever see that miracle?
No, but I'm going to look it up when we're done here.
Yeah. You really need to see it. It blew me away. I couldn't believe it where I guess these fish just started showing up with, and they had the Eucharist in their mouth and they were returning the Eucharist back to the priest. God's creatures, they get it because they're authentically being who God created them to be, right? And so it's us who have the free will that we're constantly messing, not you, Karen, but it's constantly messing things up, the humans, that we try to look for the very complicated situation, and we try to analyze and to judge when if we would just receive and believe, oh, how our lives would be so enhanced. What do you say, Karen?
Oh, amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank you for sharing that. I mean, it's beautiful when you have all these, like, witnesses of the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and you've got, you know, scientific ones like the miracle of Luciano, and then just, it's just such a treasure chest full of, you know, things that we can share with each other when we start to doubt. And So God gives us these in all the different times throughout history. And so I just think it's beautiful. So thank you for hosting this on the show today.
Oh, we do it every month, the first Friday for the Real Presence. We've been doing it now for over a year, and it's been very, very popular thanks to the calls like yourself calling in, Karen. So thank you. God bless you. Have a beautiful now weekend in San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, yes. Oh, and just real quickly, my friend's daughter, her name is Madison. If you could add, please, she and her family, she's come down with, I think it's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. She's paralyzed from the waist down, and she's in the hospital getting treatment. So I just pray, she's in her early 20s.
Okay.
If we could add her to your prayer book for her healing and peace and comfort and strength for her family, that would be great.
Absolutely. So I added Madison and her whole family and the doctors that are treating her. Okay. Will you keep us posted, Karen, on Madison?
Will do. Yes, will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, I remember I was just right now looking at a picture of that dog. He was sitting, you know.
Sitting.
But almost like he was at attention, you know, like he was, and just staring right at the tabernacle. He was behind the altar, between the altar and the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to see that, the search I did was John Paul II, Police Dog Blessed Sacrament. And there's a number of websites that have that story, and some of them have that picture on there.
Right.
Okay, you know, if our human, you know, intellects and reasons and faith don't believe in the real presence in the Eucharist, let's turn to God's other creatures, His non-human creatures, to tell us that, right?
I know, because they're authentically being who they are, and they're real, they're very authentic. That's what we need to be and really be open. So please call in if you have something to say about the Most Holy Eucharist. We'd love to hear from you at 833-288-3986, and when we come back. Mary, you're going to be up next, and the others right in line as they called in on take two.
Talking about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And, you know, when you think about it, why wouldn't we do a show on the Eucharist once a month? Because it is everything to us. Everything flows from the Eucharist and returns back to it as the source and summit of our faith. 833-288-3986 if you'd like to join us in this conversation. And Debbie, I don't know, did you have something you wanted to share?
I do, real quickly. Since you were sharing where people can find the Take Two family can find the information on that guard dog about the Eucharist, and then also the Eucharistic miracle that I was sharing was from Spain, 1348, and it's the Eucharistic miracle. All you have to do is type in Eucharistic miracle, and it's I'm going to botch this. I know it's either Alborea or Almacera. Okay, it's 1348 in Spain. Just type in Eucharistic miracle where the fish brought back the host. That's all you have to type in, and you'll see the whole story there. This is one of the actual posters that was put together by Carlo Acutis, and it's Alborea, I believe, or Alborea, or Alborea. Mm. How do you say it? Do you see it? How would you say it?
Alborea, Almacera, Almacera.
Oh, nice. Look how you say it with such a flair to it. Okay, but it's a really cool story, you guys. So we're trying to give information that you can share after Mass, maybe this weekend, with your family so you can grow in this understanding. Jerry, before we go back to the phones, may I do a shout out?
Okay.
Our friends in Mobile need to hear from you. Next week, Archangel Radio will air their spring pledge drive starting on Wednesday. So if you're listening in Mobile, Daphne, Fairhope, or anywhere, remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station. So I grabbed this announcement, as you all know, because it's Archangel Radio, and you know how I love the angels. So anytime I get a chance to say anything about the angels, I will.
All right, Mary in Omaha, first-time caller, listening on the EWTN app, wants to share about the Blessed Sacrament. Hi, Mary.
Hi, this is, Mary, from Omaha, Nebraska, and first-time caller. And I hope I can get through this without getting tearful, because I did with your screener. Mm-hmm. So as I was telling him, I'm an old girl. This was way back in 1983, and I was in college at that time, an all-women's Catholic college in Los Angeles. And I had made a good friendship with this one particular friend, girl, and we had gotten into an argument, and that argument carried through to our senior year. And it pained me greatly because I had lost her friendship. And I was going to Mass, and she was the Eucharistic minister. And as I was walking up to receive communion, I realized that I was in her line, and there was no way that I could get over to the other side of, the aisle. And so I had to receive communion from her, and I had been trying to avoid her as she was avoiding me. And I walked up to her, and I put my hands out to receive the Eucharist, and there was this wash that came over me. There was just this, I can't even describe it. It was this moment where I knew that the Holy Spirit was upon me, and I just felt this just impactful moment. I've never had that moment since, but I received the communion, and then I went back, and then I sat and I prayed about what had just happened. And so then after Mass, to confirm that was a powerful moment, I guess, or that God was definitely present to both of us, she walked up to me, and her face and her demeanor was so different We didn't even say a word. We just embraced, and it was like, oh, like we were healed. I mean, it was so extremely powerful, and it was just incredible. And so I always have believed in the power of Christ in the Eucharist, but at that moment, it was the first time that I had ever actually felt the power of the Eucharist. And I, you know, my children know this story and stuff, and it affects me every single time. I cannot tell this story without just being so emotional. So what that was what I wanted to say.
Yeah, what happened after that encounter, Mary? I didn't quite catch that. What happened afterwards?
Well, we embraced, and then we talked, and we were friends. You know, we communicated for a while after we had gotten married and had children, but then we lost track with each other. So if you don't mind, Lillian, if you're out there, this is Mary. yeah, it was just the most impactful experience. And I've been to Medjugorje. I have seen the miracle of the sun. I am truly blessed and believe in miracles, but that was one of the only times I have actually felt like the power of the Holy Spirit upon me, like Pentecost. It felt like Pentecost.
Yeah, I was just going to, isn't that interesting you said that? I was just going to say that. And you know, Mary, it's so fascinating the way the Lord positioned it. And then he was at the center of the two of you coming back together. He knew you guys needed that reconciliation. And what a beautiful, and again, I'm using the word intimate way to bring you two back together. That is incredible. I was getting emotional as you were sharing it. How about you, Jer?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, Jesus, the Eucharist is supposed to unite us, you know. The devil is the divider, and, you know, Jesus is the uniter. And what a great experience, Mary. That's just absolutely, this is why we do this Real Presence show, Mary, is we want to, you know, not only hear about people's, you know, theological understanding or, you know, understanding of the Eucharist in that way, but the personal, the relational, the very impactful experiences that people like you have had, Mary. So God bless you for sharing that.
Well, bless both of you for doing the show. And I have to tell you, I am a first-time caller. I listen in my car, but I was doing the rosary, and I wanted to continue with the rosary. So I came and I downloaded the app. So I'm on the app. Okay. And so now you're in my home.
Oh, good. And Mary, you did a shout out to Lillian. I hope she's listening, or one of her friends or relatives is listening, and you guys get in touch. And when you do, have both of you call in next time, okay?
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes.
Well, thank you, and many blessings to you both.
Thank you, and to you as well, Mary. God bless you.
That was a beautiful call. I love that call. Okay, Mary just freed a phone line now. You can jump in, but you got to go quickly, guys, because look at the clock. You don't have a lot of time. 833-288-3986. We'll go to Karen, Jerry in North Dakota on our friends at Real Presence Radio. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hi. The first I want to say a biblical walk through the Mass with Dr. Ed Shree is excellent also.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Edward Shree. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, early, we have a wonderful pastor, and he gives communion by dipping in the precious
intinction.
Blood.
Intinction. It's called intinction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was going up for communion, and he dipped, and he held it up, which seemed like forever, but he said, the body of Christ. And it almost came alive. It rays of light shot from it, and it, for lack of words, it kind of glowed. It was phenomenal. It was glorious. And the second time was at my brother-in-law's funeral, right before we say, I am not worthy, you know, to receive you. He holds up the precious body, above the chalice, and there was a tongue of flame inside that host. There was no light behind him or a side or mirror or anything. There was a tongue of fire in the host. So nobody is going to tell me that that is not Jesus Christ. Nobody. Yeah.
Well, you got your own personal kind of like a Eucharistic miracle there, mm-hmm. Karen.
Well, yeah,
real gift. I was going to say that exactly. Use that same word. You know, Jesus looked at you very tenderly and beautifully as his daughter, and just said, "You know what? I'm going to show myself to you in a very real, tangible way." Because you know, the Eucharist obviously is under the appearances of bread and wine. We certainly believe that it changes at transubstantiation, but it takes eyes of faith to see that. But Karen, you were also given a little glimpse behind that veiled presence mm-hmm. of Jesus in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, beautiful account.
Yeah, precious. And thank you for sharing with us today and sharing with the world, because there are people listening that they're not sure what to make of it. But if they hear that somebody else experienced it with their own eyes and actually saw it, and it was so precious to you and as a gift, that could help another soul, Karen. So thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Great call.
Yeah, absolutely. Our first Friday of the month, Real Presence in the Eucharist show on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie here on EWTN Radio. A lot of calls still to get to. Let me peek on over here. Do we have social media?
Social media.
Mm-hmm. We have one says, let's see, how do you respond to the claim that only 48% of Catholics believe in the Eucharist being the true presence of Jesus? I would respond to that claim by saying it's less than 48%, I think, according mm-hmm. to surveys. You know, mm-hmm. it's only about like 30%, but
I can tell you how to respond.
Yeah, well, I would just say that doesn't change the fact that it's really Jesus. You know, we don't, our faith is not based on, you know, polls, obviously. But go
right.
ahead, Deb. I'm sure you've got something much wiser to share than I do.
No, it's the reason why our shepherds called for a Eucharistic revival. We need a solid catechesis. Let's face it, I think the in a lot of areas, the catechesis has fallen short, and people have not really practiced their faith, meaning they haven't really invested themselves in their faith. And when you don't do that, what happens is the world takes over. And if the world will slightly put in doubts in your mind, it'll just start being that way. I know people that were really, really devout Catholics, Jerry, very devout. They used to go to church all the time. And then they got into the world, and the world just started to work on them. And before you know it, they were like, it could be the Eucharistic. It might be Jesus. It might not. I'm like, what happened? What happened? And it's the world. So the world is very noisy, you guys. And I think that's my take on it anyway. What do you say, Jer?
No, I agree. Yeah, it's that drip, you know, that steady drip, little tiny doubts, you know. It's kind of like the phrase, you know, death by 1,000 paper cuts, you know.
Yep.
One little paper cut is annoying, but it's not gonna bother you that much. But, you know, add about 1,000 paper cuts on top of that, and you've got a pretty serious problem, so.
So true.
Anyway, yeah.
Can I share real quickly? Join us for the Fathers of Mercy Hour this Sunday morning at 4 a.m. Eastern. Father Wade Menezes discusses the necessity of the spiritual life. And boy, do we need that. Father Wade does such a great job. And that is 4 a.m. Eastern. Wow, it's pretty early, but it's cool.
Okay, let's go to Diane, who's been holding very patiently in Charlotte, North Carolina on Sirius XM 130. There we go. Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Yes. Oh, am I on the radio?
You mm-hmm. are on live, yes, around the world, by the way.
Okay. I'm calling from Charlotte, North mm-hmm. Carolina, and just happened to turn on the radio. I'm usually not in my car at this time, but and you had mentioned, I believe, earlier that you were talking a lot about the real presence of Jesus mm-hmm. in the Eucharist. Am I correct?
Right. That's correct.
Is correct. That's what the whole show is about today, yeah.
Okay. Mine is a rather, I think, an interesting observation that with the crisis that we are having in the church of people not understanding the true presence, is I don't understand why mm-hmm. in our profession of faith that isn't what we say. That along with all the other beautiful things that we believe, in that profession or that creed or whatever you want to call it,
right.
Why can't we say that we believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist?
Right. That is an excellent question. And I just want to let you know that that comes up all the time in formation of why it's not listed on the profession of faith. But the way I understand it, and Jerry, you tell me if you have a different take on this, the whole entire profession of faith actually does relate to and revolve around the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is the source and summit of our Christian life. It is all about being Catholic. It is everything about being Catholic. And if you notice, Diane, in the Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creed, it talks about the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the holy Catholic Church. That is us. The Eucharist is the Catholic Church. We are the ones who have the real presence. We are the ones who believe in the real presence, and the Eucharist revolves all around that. So yes, it could have been listed there, but to be really honest with you, to be Catholic means to believe in the most holy Eucharist. What would you say, Jerry?
Well, what I would say is I would point your attention and everyone's attention to an article on EWTN.com, Why the Creed Doesn't Mention the Eucharist. Don't have time to go into all of it here, but basically it summarizes the fact that the first version of the Creed, which came out of the Council of Nicaea in 325, was really a response to Arian heresy and other heresies, mm-hmm. and it was defending the doctrine of the Trinity and Christ's divinity and so forth. So it really wasn't concerning itself, at least and of course the Apostles' Creed predates the Nicene Creed, you know, mm-hmm. so.
And it's not in the Apostles either.
Yeah, so.
But if the Catholic Church is really centered around, I mean, it is the Eucharist, so mm-hmm. it kind of encompasses that. But do you see something different in that?
Well, there's just one other comment in this article. It says, also, during this early period of the church, the fullness of Eucharistic doctrine was often explained only after baptism, thus only after the new Christian had publicly recited the creed. So I don't know if that's of any help to you, Diane, but I would just, if anyone wants to, maybe we can have Charles Beery, our producer, post that on the show website. But it's just do a search, EWTN.com, Why the Creed Doesn't Mention the Eucharist. And
mm-hmm. That's interesting. Read that part again. That's interesting. So only after baptism, after they professed what they believed, then goes into the initiation sacrament of the most holy Eucharist?
It says, well, the fullness of Eucharistic doctrine.
Got
was
it.
Often
the fullness.
Explained only after baptism.
Okay. Yeah, so. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So there was a development there with the person coming into the mm-hmm. belief. What do you say, Diane? This is fascinating. We should probably do a whole show on this. What do you think?
Well, I'm still a little hesitant in totally understanding why it's left out, because to me it seems like we are in a heresy right now of that. People are denying it. People are using the Eucharist for horrible rituals.
Sure.
There mm-hmm. is just so much right now that we are going through that, to me, this would be a perfect time. Of course, you know, I know it has to be mm-hmm. the magisterium doing this, but why not make this clear to most of the Catholics that aren't really, as I don't think, would go into the depths that both you two have brought up, which is mm-hmm. perfectly beautiful,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but I don't know how many Catholics in the pews are considering all that. So I guess I'm just kind of hoping someday maybe that'll happen, because I do think if we say it out loud every Sunday or every mm-hmm. Mass we go to, it would just, I think, mm-hmm. solidify what
right.
we are as right. Catholic.
But the only thing I agree with that. I think that's, you know, if another council is called for that specific reason and they were to change or to add to the profession of faith. But Diane, you know what's so interesting about that? You look at the Mass. The Mass is the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. It is all about the Eucharist, and it's all about the living Word of God. And so it's so interesting to me that I agree with you, Diane. It's so interesting to me when I meet Catholics that are kind of what I would call somewhat of a cafeteria Catholic. They pick and choose what they want to believe. It's like, well, why do we go to Mass? It's so interesting to me that they don't understand that fundamental purpose of the Mass. You know what I'm saying, Diane? I think it also goes back to a bit of a weak catechesis, a formation that we are imparting to people. What do you say to that, Diane?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. That we just a lot of it is just the poor catechesis, and certainly I was a part of that for many, many years. So I think when it comes down to it, we're all on that journey, and when you're a Catholic, you come hopefully to that realization. But anyway, I just, I'd asked a number of priests and just never quite, they weren't even quite sure, some of them, why we don't have it. So I was just kind of hoping EWTN could take the torch and move with it and get it in there somehow.
We'll do a show at least. That'll help. Yeah. So and Diane from Charlotte, North Carolina suggested it. How's that?
Oh, you don't have to do that.
Have a blessed weekend, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. You're amazing. Thank you. That was a great call.
Well, it's similar to Scripture. You know, people will say, well, why isn't Mary mentioned explicitly in Scripture? Well,
exactly.
The Bible wasn't written at that time to explain Mary. The Bible was written at that time to explain this radical new human being, a divine person, but a human walking in flesh and blood who claimed to be the Almighty Son of God, and to a world and to you know, Jewish believers and so forth. To you know, it was written for those audiences and for those purposes. So
yeah,
I think maybe around the year 325, there probably wasn't this crisis of belief in the Eucharist that we have now. But I guess we can hope, Debbie, and pray maybe something will come out of this Eucharistic revival in our country. Maybe our bishops will put out a document, or maybe some individual bishops will. I think it would be very helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We got two calls from Pensacola, Florida. Look at Pensacola, Florida. Go. We'll take the first one. Irene, we're going to squeeze you in from Pensacola, Florida on Guadalupe Radio Network. Go right ahead, Irene.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I know that you guys are busy and we're running out of time. But I just want to share a little bit of the, we're talking about the Eucharist. And I just want to share everyone that listening to this radio station that the Lord is truly present during the Eucharist. It's because at one point my son experienced seeing a blood on the Eucharist. Yeah, it's absolutely a gifted moment and a blessed moment for him to see that, because I told him not very many people see that. So so that's why I've been telling my kids, even when they were growing up, we go to Catholic Mass, and I told them when the priest lifted up the Eucharist, you must cancel anything you're doing, and you just look at that Eucharist, because he is truly present in the Eucharist. And that's just, I just want to show the whole world that truly he is the Lamb of God. And if you go to church and you receive the Eucharist, it's not only the spirit, you know, the food of your spirit, is also everything. It just renew you when you leave that church.
Well, you know, it's funny, Irene, funny that you had mentioned, you know, at the elevation of the host and the chalice, you know, during Mass, because we read in John 12:32, you know, Jesus says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was referring primarily and you know, especially to his being lifted up on the cross. But when we think about it, Debbie, you know, it could be the same thing, you know. The Eucharist is intended to draw all people to Jesus. That should be our prayer, just like it was his prayer at the Last Supper. So,
and your son received a special gift there, Irene. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it. James in Pensacola, Ann in New Jersey, Maggie in New York. We're not going to get to you because Jerry's going to read this poem from Edward, and we have to save time for that. But please, please, please call in next month when we do the Real Presence again on the first Friday of June. Wow.
Yeah, already.
Can't believe
it. This is called the Holy Eucharist, the Bread of Life, and it goes like this. The Holy Mass, a sacred space, is where heaven meets earth's place. The Holy Eucharist, gift divine, the bread of life in bread and wine. Unite to our Savior's side, in mystic union we abide, for at the altar Christ is shown, the perfect sacrifice alone. Sent by the Father's boundless love, from realms of glory high above, Jesus walked among the sons of men and led them back to God again. Through him forgiveness freely flows, and grace upon our spirits glows. In Eucharist his presence found, our souls with heavenly light abound. O bread of life, our hearts embrace, your sanctity our souls encase. In every particle you dwell, our sources of life, our fortress well. Increase our faith, O Lord, we pray, and lead us on the narrow way. Sanctify us through this feast, that in your body we are released. As members of the mystical bride, with Christ our head, our souls abide. Make us, O Lord, witnesses true of resurrection power in you. Let others feel your presence near, as in your name we boldly steer, ambassadors of truth and grace, reflecting light in every place. Manifest your presence bright in every moment, day or night, as vessels of your living breath, proclaiming life or sin and death. Partake we now the bread of life, in holy union, free from strife, joined to the offering divine, in Christ our Lord, forever we shine.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow, amen. Edward, if you heard that and we have permission to post it on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, please email us. Let us know, take2@ewtn.com, because everybody's going to be asking about it. That was powerful. Thanks to all the Take Two family. Thank you to the show team, Matt and Charles and Michael. You did a great job. On Monday, Jerry, we're going to be talking about, do you volunteer at church?
All right. That is great. Can't wait for that. Thank you, show team. Thank you, affiliates. Today, Saints Philip and James, pray for us. Thank you. Have a great weekend. God bless. Talk to you all on Monday.